You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gareth Topham, Paddy Aspel and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Doncaster, Sandown and Newton Abbott on Friday afternoon. Beverley and Haydock will provide the action in the evening domestically. And there's also a couple of meetings over in Ireland on Friday night as well, from Bellewstown and Wexford. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm very well, thanks, Mark. Enjoying this beautiful summer weather.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Bit of sunshine, a lot of sunshine. It's been the hottest July day in July ever on record, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've even had to move up to factor 30 on the top of the head, Mark, just to protect myself in this heat.
Yeah. Bit of sunshine, hopefully, this weekend. Good racing coming up as well. It should be good. So we'll just take a quick look ahead to that as well. The Eclipse is the feature race this weekend. Golden Horn bidding for a bit of history. He'll be the first horse to win the Dante, the Derby and the Eclipse in the same season. And he's 4-11 to do so. A couple of stories over the last couple of days about the Grey Gatsby. Obviously, the main danger to Golden Horn. Is it a match between the two for yourself?
Yeah, it looks that way on the form book, Mark, to be honest. You know, you think Golden Horn is the right price at 4-11. He's just a real exciting horse. The way he won the Dante, followed up in great style, proving his stamina in the Derby. The only thing that I can see against him as a negative for his chances in the club is that there could be a lack of pace. It could be a muddling tactical affair because there's no out-and-out front runner in the race. But as we've seen it at York, he has a fine turn of foot, the horse, so hopefully that shouldn't be too much of a problem and he should be able to overcome that with his class, because he has lots of class, this horse, Golden Horn.
Yeah, so you think he'll win, maintain the unbeaten record?
I do, yes. Obviously we're not going to get Ridge backing him at 4-11. The Grey Gatsby's going to have the ground very much in his favour. I think, you know, he definitely needs real fast ground the way he moves, and he proved at Ascot last time when bouncing back to his best that, you know, that was his conditions in the Prince of Wales Stakes. So yeah, it was good to see him come back to his peak, but I think he's going to find one too good here in Golden Horn, who looks a potential, well, already is a top class 3-year-old.
We've got that to look forward to at the weekend. We're not too far away from the July Cup as well, Craig, and a bit of story surrounding that, saying that they'd be more open to switching the July Cup now, because one of the reasons why it was on the Saturday is because they sold the rights to show it in Hong Kong. That's no longer the case. I think it'd be good to move the July Cup. There's too much racing on that Saturday, and if the July Cup can move earlier on in the week or perhaps to the Sunday, I don't know what the plan is, but it would have its own slot and it would make the rest better for me.
Yeah, definitely, Mark. You know, I think that in the space of about 30 minutes, you've got the John Smith's Magnet Cup, you've got a big handicap at Ascot, and then the July Cup hot on the heels. And you know, it doesn't get the coverage it should get for a July Cup. You know, it's a top-class sprint. And it always used to be run, I think, on a Wednesday at Newmarket. So it'd be great if they moved it back to that day. You know, something needs to budge with that Saturday, which comes up next weekend, the 11th. Something definitely needs to budge. And if it means moving the July Cup, I think that's a positive move.
All right. It's about that time of year again when we start talking about Cheltenham. Oh. I'm only joking, it's not. But
the sun's shining, Mark.
But there is a story surrounding the Cheltenham Festival. The Thursday only has 6 days. It's long been talked about. Only has six races, sorry. It's long been talked about having a seventh race on that day. And it looks likely, by what I'm reading today, that it could be a new mare's race, a mare's novice hurdle, in fact. Would that have been your choice if you were to pick an extra race at the festival?
No, I wouldn't, Mark, to be honest. I think it could dilute a few races, the likes of the Supreme, the Neptune, even the Triumph. You know, it could dilute those races. And if you've got a mare, filly, you know, why not run them in the mare's race as a novice? You know, there's a race there for them at the moment. So I mean, I'm not against having the seventh race. You just love Cheltenham and you can't get enough of it. So another race is will be great. But, you know, I think there needs to be some thought put in it. And I don't think that would be the best idea or the best addition to the card with another merge race. Because I think, again, it will end up diluting other races. Probably, you know, looking to add a handicap so the graded races remain as they are, because already, you know, with the introduction of the 2 mile novice chase, is it the Juicem, they call it now, you know, it's taken a little bit away from the Arkle. So we need to keep the top class performers competing against each other. So for another edition, it might be best to look at some form of handicap.
All right, so for you, you'd go for a handicap. I was thinking along the lines of a top level 2.5 mile hurdle. Just thinking like the likes of the entry hurdle. Although that would take away from that race. So it's kind of tricky, but if you look at Rock and Ruby this year, you end up running the world hurdle, probably too far, not quick enough for the champion hurdle anymore.
But again, there's, you know, you're then looking at the pool of horses for the champion hurdle and the pool of horses for the world hurdle.
Yeah.
There wasn't huge fields last year, and if you lost a couple from each to compete in a 2.5 mile hurdle, I like to see the best horses running against each other, you know, at Cheltenham. There's nothing better. But, it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's a real tricky one for them. It's good to see them adding the race, but looks like the mare's novice could be favourite.
It is a tricky one, because no matter what you do, you're going to take away from another race, aren't you?
So, definitely.
Yeah. A little last bit of news before we move on to Friday's action. Barry Geraghty is aiming to return this weekend. He's got a kidney stone, apparently, but still aiming to ride. It'll be the first time he's ridden as retained rider for JP McManus. It'd be good to see that, won't it?
Yeah, it'd be excellent to see. You know, it was a little bit of a surprise when they announced the news that Barry Geraghty would replace our very own AP McCoy. But it's exciting news. And
did you think it was a surprise?
Yeah, I did, to be honest. I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought Nicky Henderson would have, you know, he had a good number there. And, you know, although Nicky didn't have the best of seasons last year, he's still got a lot of good horses this year. I thought, yeah, a little bit surprised. But, you know, hopefully it'll work. Barry Geraghty's a top-class jockey.
Yeah.
So, yeah, delighted to see him back. And wish him the best of luck in his new job.
Anything else got your eye, Craig, before I move on?
Hasn't, Mark. It's just it's been playing catch-up. I was at the Northumberland Plate at the weekend, and since then, catching up all the other meetings at this time of year, it's very, very hard work. So my head has been in the form book.
Right.
Trying not to miss a winner.
Yes. What did you make of the Northumberland Plate? Last one on turf, of course. Are you angry about the decision to change it to all weather? Or seemed to be a lot of disgruntled people about Newcastle that day.
Yeah. Yes and no is the answer to that question. Obviously, with the tradition and the history revolves around the race, and when they first announced plans to move to an all-weather surface, the original thought was the Northumberland Plate would remain on turf, running on the hurdle track.
Yeah.
But that has since switched, and of course will now be run on an all-weather surface. So that's a little bit of a shame. Quite a lot of negative feedback from the trainers, which I don't think is a positive sign for the course moving forward as a whole. I think, you know, if they're going to do it, everybody needs to buy into it. They need to be united. It just seems to be worlds apart. So, you know, I would like to see it come together, but I have some doubts at the moment, Mark.
All right. Well, we'll see how that develops. But anyway, we've got racing coming up on Friday. Craig's got four races for us, and we'll move on to those on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Not a bad Friday at Sandown in Prospect. We're going to look at four races there, starting in the 250, which is the Dragon Stakes, a listed race for two-year-olds over 5 furlongs. We've got a field of 6 here, Craig. Which ones have caught your eye so far?
Yeah, I think we've got to look at the horses that performed so well at Royal Ascot here, Mark, and the two that catch the eye are Rifle Scope and Soapy Aitken. Rifle Scope ran in the Norfolk Stakes, which has been a good guide to this race for past winners, and Soapy Aitken ran so well in the Windsor Castle. I think both those two-year-old races are usually some of the weaker races of the week for juveniles, but this year they look to be well above average renewals. and Riflescope got himself detached in the early part of that race. Couldn't go the pace. They did go a very, very strong gallop set by the two Richard Hannon runners. And Riflescope was running on strongly in the closing stages, doing all his best work late on. Finished fourth. He was only half a length behind two horses that, you know, had already posted really strong form in the likes of Logout Island and King of Rooks. So it was a real good effort. And like I said, the Norfolk Stakes has been a better guide to finding winners of this race than the Windsor Castle. Although Soapy Aitken did run a real good race from a low draw there, finishing fourth. And Ryan Moore booked. He's got the plum draw in stall one, Soapy Aitken, on Friday. But Riflescope, let's hope he can lie a little closer to the pace in the early stages here. And I think he could come home the stronger.
Moving on to the 3:55 at Sandown next. This is the Gala Stakes, which is a listed race over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the 3-year-olds and older. And Saeed Bin Sarraw's got a pretty good record in this race in recent years. He won it last year with Windhoek, and I imagine Thaye is going to be quite prominent in the market for Friday's race.
Yeah, we haven't seen him, of course, since he was out in Dubai in the Carnival time in February. But he should get the race almost run to suit here, Mark, because we've got Fatsota and Marshgate Lane that like to press on. They're drawn 4 and 5 respectively, and I think they'll provide the pace angle to the race. So, you know, we've got to be looking for a closer here. Tahir, obviously, one enters the shortlist. Bright Approach, an interesting runner, a filly returning after a long absence, last seen running poorly, must be said, in the Ribblesdale Stakes, only beaten one home last year, but had looked at an exciting horse at Newbury and Chester prior to that. But I think, you know, the one again, another massive eye catcher from the from Royal Ascot is Provenance, who met all sorts of trouble in the Wolverton handicap, was absolutely flying at the finish, this filly, and you know, a massive eye catcher, only gone up a pound. Ryan Moore booked. It's very, very hard to oppose her.
All right, Provenance for Craig then in that race. Moving on to the 4:30 at Sandown next. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older. 9 of them to go to post for this one, Craig. And we'll start with Sudian for Sir Michael Stout. Ryan Moore in the saddle, only had the one start, but it was a winning one last year.
Yeah, Mark, I've just actually had to play the video back to remind myself, you know, how he went about his business that day. I can't believe he won. You know, when you watch it back, you haven't seen him this year, and He was fifth with about a furlong to run, with 5-6 lengths to make up. And, you know, Shane Kelly gave him a tap. He responded in real good fashion, and he powered clear in the closing stages. I mean, I haven't had time to do the sectionals from that race for this preview, but I would imagine they'll be very, very impressive the way he picked up in the closing stages there. And, you know, he's unexposed. He starts life in a handicap company off a mark of 90. That could be lenient from what we've seen at Newmarket on his only start. And let's be fair, there's a lot of horses that enter this race in bad form. You know, a lot of horses, and he gets a 3-year-old allowances. He ticks a lot of boxes. The other 3-year-old in the race, Tom Hark, you know, run poorly at Sandown on his last two starts. Hard to recommend him on the evidence of what we've seen there. So all points to Sudian here for Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore again. Obviously going to be another favourite, I would imagine, Mark. But like I said, it's very, very hard to oppose him. Of the older brigade, the only one I can see that interests me is I'm From Govan, who has fallen back to a workable mark of 87 and should be getting competitive from that kind of figure in the near future. So I'm From Govan could be the biggest danger to Sudian. So maybe a little forecast for a bit of value there, Mark.
Even going for the forecast, I like it. The final race we're going to look at is the 5:05 at Sandown. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and three quarters. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Field of 13 here, Craig. And one of the more open races on the day. Who would you side with in there?
Yeah, Mark. Looking back at previous winners of this race, 3- and 4-year-olds have dominated. But when you look at the makeup of this race, a lot of the 3-year-olds are all strong front runners. So I can see a real good gallop here. And the 3-year-olds, you know, just could cut each other's throats because Akavit, Singular Quest, Monstead Pride, they all like to race prominently. And I can see a real strong gallop here. It's going to set it up for a closer. Dagash, although only beat two rivals at Nottingham in the end, powered clear in a very good time. You know, I think he's one to keep on side from a £3 higher mark. And the other one, you know, that loves a fast pace is the almost veteran of the field, Spice Fair. You know, he'll be held up well off the pace in the early stages. But the harder they go early, this will suit Spice Fair. And he does like Sandown. He's a previous course and distance winner here. So I would play two against the field because I think there'll be value here with the three-year-olds. But I would play Spice Fair and Dagash against the field.
Okay, signing with a couple of closers then. In the 5-0-5, let's just have a quick summary as always, Craig, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, starting off in the 250, we're going for Rifle Scope for Mark Johnson. And then following that in the 355, Provenance, a real eye catcher from Royal Ascot. In the 430 at Sandown, we're going for the once-raced Sudian. And finally, in the 505 at Sandown, we're going to split stakes on two here, Dagash, and the old boy of the field, Spice Fair.
Good stuff, Greg. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Paddy Aspel and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Doncaster, Sandown and Newton Abbott on Friday afternoon, Beverley and Haydock in the evening, and there's racing over in Ireland as well from Bellewstown and Wexford, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.